Good morning. So, have you all had a good week? John and Emily are back from their little honeydew honeymoon. You're just too cute. Look at them. Aren't they cute? You guys been doing your exercise? Huh? What did we call it last week? Did you guys forget already? Salubrious, right? Salubrious activity, right? What's salubrious mean? Oh, man. What? Promoting health. Salubrious means to promote health. S-A-L-I-B-R-U-O-U-S. Salubrious. So, everybody say salubrious. Why? You know why I say that? It's because we're made up of what? Three parts. Body, soul, and spirit. If we don't take care of our bodies, you know, hey, we're going to miss out on our full calling and what God's created us to do. So we have to take care of ourselves as best we can, right? That's what 1 John said, he would that we would be in good health and that our soul would prosper. See that? So it's important. If we're good health, then our soul can prosper. If we're not good health, it can affect our soul and our whole rest of the stuff, right? So I'm not doing that to get on you. You all get mad at me, but that's all right. I can tell when I bring it up sometimes. Ooh. So, yeah, it is. So what have we been talking about? We've been talking about, so wait, what happens when you're not salubrious? You don't have any activity. You become what? Remember that word? Spavined. Spavined. Spavined, is that what they word they use on an old horse when he's old and decrepit? And he's swollen and he can't do anything anymore. And that's what they use that term in people too. That's what happens. We get old and decrepit because we don't use it, we lose it. So we don't want to be spavined. I know I'm talking to some folks this morning. I know. I'm 52, I know. All right. What did we talk about last week? Commitment, right? Commitment. And commitment is a key to the kingdom, right? If we are committed, that is one of the keys. If we are committed. Remember, Jesus said that he has given us the keys of the kingdom. Not to the kingdom, but of the kingdom, in Matthew 16. And so he said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. When you have one of these keys and you're operating in it, you can open up heaven and bring heaven to earth. And you can close doors that no man can open, and you can open doors that no man can shut when you operate in these keys. And commitment is one of them. And so it's so important that we understand this. David said, commit your ways in Psalms 37:5. Commit your ways to the Lord, and what? He will trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. Bring what to pass? Go back to verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you what? The desires of your heart. That deepest longing in you will come to pass when you're committed to the Lord. He'll bring it to pass. Sometimes some of you can't even describe it. You can't even put it into words what it is you're looking for or longing for. But God knows, and if you're committed to him, he'll show it to you and make it clear and plain so you can stay more committed to him. But when we lack in our commitment to him, then he can't bring it to pass. Don't people need to hear this? That's why we need to understand commitment. What's the word commitment mean? Oh, here we go. No, I'm not beating on you. I'm just, what's the etymology of that word? Remember, the etymology is the origin and the study of that word. And what is it? Golgotha. Good. Richard knows what it is. Golgotha. Golgotha. What happened on Golgotha? Jesus was crucified, right? So when you say you're committed, what? You need to be willing to die for what you're committed to and for. Are you with me? So when you say, I'm committed, you're saying, you're bringing all that history into what you just said behind it. I'm committed. I'm willing to die for what I'm committed to. Well, that's huge. When you say, I'm committed to my spouse, huh? Are you willing to die for him? That's huge, isn't it? Commitment. When we're committed to God, he will bring it to pass. I got my little example I want to show you again. One more time. Just so you can get it etched and engraved in your little brain and heart. Or your big brain and your heart, whatever you got. So, see this rock? What's it represent? The most important, what's most important in our life? God, right? David said, the Lord, in Psalm 62:2, the Lord is only my rock and my salvation. The Lord only is my rock and my salvation. Salvation follows when he's your rock, when you're putting him first. So, if we can't get this rock into the jar, why? Because we've got all these other things that are taking up the space and place in our life. See, that's what a lot of us do. We get so busy and caught up in so many things and doing so many things that there's no room for what's really most important in our life. Okay. It's a little dusty. All right. Now, put it first, right? Most important. Everybody watching? What's his name? Dalton? Come on, Dalton. Watch this. Who's not watching? Dalton, you're all right. See? It all fits. When you do what? Put God first. When he's first. When he's the most important part of your life, he puts the rest of it together and will make it fit. And you know what? We need to identify what's important in our life. And that becomes a big rock. Remember I said your mortgage would be a big rock, right? Because if you don't pay your mortgage, what happens? You risk eviction or foreclosure. And then now, if they come and, you know, you're outside, you know, you don't have a place to live, a roof over your head, it's going to interfere with your what's really important to you, your dreams, your visions, your values, and what you really deem important in life. So that's why we want to pay attention. See, we don't even think about paying our mortgage, most of us. We just do it, right? It's just... We're committed to paying it. We do it. It just gets done. So that's the way we want to do with God. Because if we put him first, he's going to make sure the rest of what's really important happen in our life. All right. Just a little thing for you to look at today. Keep that in your mind for the year, right? All right, so commitment is the key. And we're going to continue to share on this idea of commitment. So how we're going to do with today is we're going to look at David. And David was the one who wrote that psalm in Psalms 37:5. He was the one because he was committed. And he was very committed to the Lord. And he ended up being a man after God's own heart. Jesus was born in the city of David because David understood salvation and David was committed. So we're going to look at David's life today. So go with me to 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5. And we're going to look at verse 17 through 21. 2 Samuel chapter 5. Now when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. And David heard of it and went down to the stronghold. The Philistines also went and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. So David, what? Inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand?" And the Lord said to David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand." So David went to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there, and he said, "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me, like a breakthrough of water." Therefore he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And they left their images there, and David and his men carried them away. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this place. We thank you for your presence. We thank you, Father, for all that you're showing us. We thank you, Lord, that we can come to your throne boldly and find grace and help in the time of need. Or there's many of us that need help this morning, Lord. We desperately need your help. So we come to you, Lord. We can't do anything apart from you. You said you can do nothing apart from me. Father, we desperately need your help. We're crying out for your help this morning. Lord, let none of us remain the same. Give us a revelation of this idea of commitment. So, Father, we can open doors that no man can shut. And we can close doors that no man can open. Father, we thank you. We thank you for what you're going to do in our hearts today. Let none of us remain the same because we have been in your presence. We ask it in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus forever. Amen and amen. Okay. Now, in verse 17, it says, "Now when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David." This was the beginning of David's rule, his being a king. Okay? Now, the infancy of his beginning to be a king. He was in the infancy of it, the ruling of it. So, all the Philistines heard about it and gathered and strategized and got together to search out for David and to destroy David. You see, there's a reason. There's a reason in that infancy, the enemy will come to take you out. Some of you are getting new understanding and you are growing in the Lord and you're getting new ideas of what God is doing in your life. and the enemy is assaulting you and attacking you in ways to keep you from taking rule over your life. You see that? Because the enemy wants to get it in the infancy stage. He doesn't want it to take root, because he knows if it takes root, that it's going to grow and you are going to become someone that the enemy will have to reckon with. Are you listening to me this morning? And that's why we have to be aware, if we're being attacked in certain areas of our life, God is giving us new revelation. We're in the infancy stage. And so hang on, stay committed. If you're committed, you'll bring it to pass. That's why we need to understand this idea of commitment. So now, David, look what it says here. The Philistines, verse 18, the Philistines also went and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines?" Now think about that. He inquired of the Lord. What's the first thing David did when he heard about the Philistines coming against him? He inquired of the Lord. There's three things, if you're going to be committed, you're going to have to do. You're going to have to inquire of the Lord. Number one. Number two, you're going to have to do what God says and act on it. You're going to have to do what God says and act on it. Number three, you're going to have to acknowledge the Lord. So number one, we're going to have to inquire of the Lord. Number two, we're going to have to do and act on what God says. Number three, we're going to have to acknowledge the Lord. Now, look at this. It says in verse 20, so David went to where? Baal Perazim. Baal Perazim. Now, Baal Perazim, you know what that means in the Hebrew? It means master of breakthroughs, or Lord of breakthroughs. Master of breakthroughs, or Lord of breakthroughs. And look what it says. It says in verse 20, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like the breakthrough of water, just gushing in and defeating the enemy. You see that? See, the barrier that was trying to get between him and God, it was defeated and broken down because David inquired of the Lord, and the enemy couldn't get in and take over his life. You see that? Some of you have barriers, and there's going to be breakthroughs today because you are going to inquire of the Lord. Are you with me today? That's what Baal Perazim means, master or Lord of breakthroughs. I'll tell you, I like that. I like that. When you inquire of the Lord, He will go to work on your behalf. If you're committed, see, if you're committed, that's what you'll do. You will inquire of the Lord. Now, the Philistines wanted to crush his government before it got established. That was their strategy. They wanted to take out his government, his rule, before it got established. All right, now think about this. We all need a breakthrough. Some of you are being assaulted in your marriage. You need a breakthrough. You need a breakthrough. Inquire of the Lord. Inquire of the Lord. Some of you are being assaulted in your finances. Inquire of the Lord. Some of you are being assaulted in your relationships, period. Inquire of the Lord. Some of you are being assaulted in your thought life about your job and about the future. Inquire of the Lord. Are you with me? Inquire of the Lord. Put the Lord first in your life and inquire God. Go to God with that matter, and He is going to go to work on your behalf. Now, David inquired of the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. You see why we have to acknowledge Him? Because when we'll acknowledge Him, He directs our paths. You see that? That word acknowledge literally means to express God in your thoughts. Express God in your thoughts and speech. So we acknowledge God. We acknowledge who He is. We give Him glory. You see? The Message Bible says it this way. Proverbs 3:6, it says it this way. Listen for God's voice in everything you do. And everywhere you go, He is the one that will keep you on track. He is the one that will keep you on track. You see, we got to inquire of the Lord. We got to do what He says, act and do what He says, and we have to what? Acknowledge God. Now, think about this. Go with me to 1 Samuel 20, chapter 23, verses 1 and 2. David had a habit of inquiring the Lord. He had a habitual habit of going to the Lord. And we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. Now David came to Nob, to Ahimelech, the priest, and Ahimelech was afraid when he met David and said to him, "Why are you alone?" Am I in the right place? No. I was waiting for you guys to tell me. I'm checking to see if you're following along. Chapter 23. Where is he at? Okay. Chapter 23, verse 1. Then they told David, saying, "Look, the Philistines are fighting. Look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah, and they are robbing the threshing floors." Therefore, David, what? Inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and attack these Philistines?" And the Lord said to David, "Go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah." But David's men said to him, "Look, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?" Then David, what? Inquired of the Lord once again. And the Lord answered him and said, "Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hands." David inquired of the Lord a second time. And God told him, "You got it right the first time. Take them and take them now and go save Keilah." You see that? Because David inquired of the Lord. He told him, the Lord told him exactly what to do. Now think about this. Now, verse 3, it says that his men were afraid. Fear and intrepidation had taken over them. They were afraid because they were listening to everything and everybody else. You see, that's what happens when we listen to everybody else and everything else. Fear starts to get on us. Fear can be contagious. Fear can be contagious. You see that? When you're full of fear and anxiety, you need to check, who am I listening to? What am I listening to? Because if you're inquiring of the Lord, He's going to be speaking directly to you. And He's going to remove fear and trepidation out of your life. Faith is going to begin to rise up in you. You see, folks, when you're around people who have faith, that's contagious as well. When I get around people who believe, I like it. I know when I'm around people who are full of fear. My antennas go right up. But I know when I'm around people who are full of faith as well. And you see that? It's important. That's big, folks. Because listen, folks, when you inquire of the Lord, He will show you the people that you need to be, that need to be in your life. He will show them to you. Now think about this. So, David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord told him, He said, "You got it right the first time." And they saved all the people from the Philistines in Keilah. All the people in Keilah were saved. Now, verse 6, let's look at this. Now it happened when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David at Keilah, that he went down with an ephod in his hand. An ephod was a breastplate with these like stones and these very precious stones And it was a breastplate that the high priest would wear when they needed wisdom and guidance. And they would put this on and they would seek God. And they would get wisdom and guidance for themselves and for others. So he went and with an ephod in his hand, now watch this, in verse 7, and Saul was told that David had gone to Keilah. So Saul said, God has delivered him into my hand, for he has shut himself in by entering a town that has gates and bars. Verse 8, then Saul called all the people together for war, to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. When David knew that Saul plotted evil against him, he said to Abiathar the priest, bring the ephod here. What's he saying by bringing the ephod here? It's time to inquire of the Lord. Verse 10, then David said, O Lord God, he inquired of the Lord, O Lord God of Israel, your servant has certainly heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Verse 11, will the men of Keilah deliver me into his hand? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Verse 12, then David said, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver you. So David and his men, about 600, arose and departed from Keilah and went wherever they could go. Then it was told Saul that David had escaped from the Keilah. So he halted the exposition. Now what's going on here? Get a hold of this. David, look what David is saying. Will the men of Keilah deliver me into the hand of Saul? Saul was out to destroy David. David had just helped save all of Keilah. All the people in Keilah helped save them and destroyed the Philistines to keep them, to save them. And now Keilah, all the people of Keilah are working with Saul to come and destroy David. David's thinking, well, they morally have an obligation to take care of me because I took care of them. Because somebody has done well with you and you've done well to them and you've helped them and helped them along, don't ever think that they're going to be there when you need them the most. Don't. Because they will let you down. When your own skin and your own reputation is at stake, folks, people act different. Are you with me? That's why you got to inquire of the Lord. What happened when David inquired of the Lord? The Lord told him, they're going to get you. They're going to get you. And he told him what to do, and the expedition was halted. Wasn't destroyed. If he hadn't inquired of the Lord, what would happen? He would have been destroyed. You see this? That's why you and I, if we're committed, we're going to get into a habit of inquiring of the Lord and not listen to what everybody else is saying. Folks, I hope you're hearing the word of the Lord, because this is where we are going to make it. This is how you're going to make it. We have to do this as individuals as well. Are you with me? Am I making sense today? If you're committed, folks, then you'll inquire of the Lord. And God is going to be there to tell you what to do. He's going to give you, you're going to hear his voice. And you're going to know what he's saying. Now think about this. So, he was faced with a very critical situation. But what did he do? First, he inquired of the Lord. God alone knows the hearts of people. You see, we don't understand what people are really thinking and what's going on inside of them. Again, when their own skin and reputation is at stake there, they're going to act different. I remember a time when I was warned about this individual that was close to me in my life and in the group that I was ministering in and the place where I was ministering in. And I had helped this person, discipled them, you know, really helped them out. And I was being warned over and over by several people, you know, this could happen with this person. I always said, no way. That would be unethical. That wouldn't be, you know, where's the loyalty? Where's the, you know, faithfulness in that? No, not him. No, that wouldn't happen. Well, it happened. And there I am, hurt. Why? Because I did not inquire of the Lord. You see that? I thought he was inquiring of the Lord. I took it for granted that he was seeking God, but he really wasn't. And when the time got tough, he come against me and did me wrong. Are you with me? Am I making sense? That's why you need to be the one who inquires of the Lord. Because, folks, people will do you wrong. You see that? We don't understand. You know, not that people are bad. It's just sometimes they get into a weak moment, and sometimes they're just downright ornery. Sometimes. What? That's the way it is. And so, and you know what? You will miss it if you don't inquire of the Lord. You'll miss it, and you'll see your life. It could be a catastrophe because you didn't take time to inquire of the Lord. Now, go with me. 1 Samuel. We're going to look at chapter 30 and verse 7 and 8. Y'all all right this morning? David's family and all of his men were captured. From Ziklag. Now watch this. Verse 7. Then David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech, son, please bring the ephod here to me. What's David getting ready to do? Inquire of the Lord. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David, what? Inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail, what? Recover all. Why? Because David inquired of the Lord first. You see that? First, David inquired of the Lord. And when we will put him first, see that? He begins to move in our life and take care of what's important in our life. Am I making sense? All right. Now, go with me to 2 Samuel chapter 21. 2 Samuel chapter 21, and we're going to look at verse 1. Now there was a famine in the days of David for 3 years, year after year, and David, what? Inquired of the Lord. Inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, it is because of Saul and his bloodthirsty house, because he killed the Gibeonites. Now, what did David do? He inquired of the Lord. And if you continue reading the story, the wrong was rectified and the drought ceased because David took time to inquire of the Lord. Some of you have a famine. You're in a famine for peace. You know, you're not experiencing peace. There's a lot of confusion in your life. Well, folks, listen to me. If you will inquire of the Lord, He will bring peace. Some of you have a famine in your relationships. You're not getting along with people. If you will begin to inquire of the Lord, He will show you how to get along with those people. Some of you have a famine in your finances. You need to make some adjustments, and you need to maybe take a class on finance. We're going to have a class on finance. You need to get some education on how to handle your money and work with God, right? And inquire, and He's going to show you who to go and where to go to and help you in your finances. If you'll inquire of the Lord, you see, that's why people don't like to go inquire to the Lord, because He shows them exactly what to do, and they just don't want to do that. They want to do what they want to do, right? Because why? They're not committed. They haven't committed to His ways. You see that? Commit to His ways, and He will bring it to pass. Quiet in this Presbyterian church. I like to say that. James 1:5 says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him ask of God. James chapter 4 says, you have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. You see, when you will inquire of the Lord first, He will begin to speak to you. He will begin to speak to you. Now, go with me to 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel. Y'all feel like you're in a Bible study this morning? We're making it plain, right? 2 Samuel chapter 5. Let's look at verse 22. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 22. Then the Philistines went up once again and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Verse 23. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, and he said, you shall not go up. Circle around behind them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. And it shall be, when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall advance quickly, for then the Lord will go out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines. And David did so, and the Lord commanded him, and he drove back the Philistines from Geba as far as Gezer. Now, back to verse 22. Then the Philistines went up once again and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Now think about this. Look at verse 18 in the same chapter. The Philistines also went and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Now think about this. What did David do? The second time. In verse 22 is the second time he faced, same thing in verse 18, same situations, same enemy, same deployment, same place. And the second time, David did what? Inquired of the Lord. Well, David, why would you go? You already know how to handle that. You've already won. You've already been. Just do that again. Uh-uh. Things change. Everything changes. It appears to be the same. David inquired of the Lord. Are you with me? Things aren't always as they appear. Are they? That's why we need, when we think, that's what happens. We think, well, we handled this, and we've done this in the past. We'll just do that again. And we don't inquire of the Lord, and we end up in all kinds of problems. See, because we feel like we've conquered something and we've got victory, and we don't keep going to the Lord, right? Then same scenario a lot of our life. That's why we keep repeating certain things in our lives. That makes sense? What y'all looking at? Huh? Get your eyes off Steve. Get your eyes off the man behind the curtain, right? Listen, folks, listen. It's important that we understand that. Because, folks, we get too comfortable with past victories. But David never did. He inquired of the Lord and went on and defeated him. You hear me? Isn't that important to understand? Folks, listen to me. That is huge. That is huge. I remember when I was a teenager, some friends of mine had me over to their house, and they were kind of scheming up a little thing, you know. And they said, "You like strawberry shortcake?" Oh, man, I like me some strawberry shortcake. And so, you know, they got out all these fresh strawberries and strawberry shortcake. And, you know, I'm sitting there salivating because I love it. And I said, "Well, I like me some whipped cream on there. You got some whipped cream?" "Yeah, we got some whipped cream." Oh, then they really started smiling. They got out this tub of whipped cream. All right. And they put it, just piled it on, and man, I tell you, I was ready to tear it up. So I got my spoon, and I just got me a big old bite full of whipped cream, strawberries. I got cake, whipped cream, and strawberries all on the same thing, you know. One big, and stuffed it in my mouth. I about gagged. The whipped cream had been in the sun for 3 days. They were pulling one on me. Are you with me? Looked good. Oh, man, it looked refreshing. Oh, yeah, I'm salivating looking at this stuff. But it was sour. I mean, it makes me want to gag thinking about it. Some of you all are gagging. But it looked good. You see, we can't go by the way things looked, right? Joshua, the Gibeonites came to Joshua and said, "We've come from a far land. We've come from a far land and we've heard about your God, that your God is a great God and your God provides." They said, "Look at our shoes. Look at our clothes. They're all worn out. They're, you know, we need some help. We want your God to help us. Make a covenant with us. Make a covenant with us and we'll serve your God." And the Bible says that Joshua looked at the people, he looked at their clothes, he looked at their shoes, and he went on and made the covenant. And the Bible says he didn't inquire of the Lord. Because he didn't inquire of the Lord, the Gibeonites ended up being his neighbors. They had deceived Joshua. There was division and major problems and war broke out because of them not inquiring of the Lord. For generations they had problems because they did not inquire of the Lord. Are you with me this morning? You see that? But if we will inquire of the Lord, we can avoid a lot of things that appear to be one way. You see, it looked like whipped cream to Joshua. It looked like, man, this is a given. Let's do this thing. But he ended up doing something that made him sick. Are you with me? I know that's a little lame, but you're going to have to deal with it. That's the way it is, folks. When we don't inquire, we'll end up getting involved and things are going to make us sick if we just go by what it looks like. You see, David inquired of the Lord, and because of that, he ended up defeating that enemy. And ended up in Gezer. Now think about this. Go with me to, let's see, David, okay. Now, wait a minute now. David was committed, right? And we're talking about him being committed. And we're talking about inquiring of the Lord. Why was David so committed? Because David understood that when he inquired of the Lord, that he would defeat his enemies. He understood that. That's why he was a man after God's own heart. In Psalms 27, David said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army should encamp against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I may seek, that I may seek. One thing that I may seek. And inquire in his temple. There it is. One thing that I, and inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up high above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer up sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me and answer me. For when you said, seek my face, I said, Lord, your face I will seek. You see, David understood when he put God first and he saw God, God would take care of his enemies. Are you with me this morning? That's how he could be confident. He said, in this thing I will be confident. One thing I will be confident in. What? When the enemy is all, they're camped out here. They're all around me. I'm confident. I'm confident because I'm inquiring of the Lord first. Oh, come on, folks. Are you getting that? When we put him first, he begins to go to work. If you will inquire him and put him first, folks, listen. This is what it's going to take. We're in another day. We are in another day. You can't rely on somebody else praying for you all the time. You got to be offering up some prayers yourself. We making sense today? Now, go with me to 2 Samuel chapter 5. We're right there anyway. So let's look at verse 25. I know I get excited, but I love it. Verse 25. And David what? Did so. He did what God told him to do. There it is. We have to do what God says to do. We have to do it. Faith comes by what? By hearing the word of God. Faith without what works is what? Dead. And that word dead means what? Barren. It means not producing any life. Faith that's not taking any action will not produce any life. You see, that's what that means. It's dead. Action. We have to take action on what God is saying to us. He says in James chapter 1, don't just be hearers of the word, but what? Be doers of the word. We have to do what God is saying. Not only his written word, but what he speaks to us when we inquire of him. You see that? When we inquire of him. I remember a time when Zeta, my granddaughter, and I were going to see my mom, and she calls my mom Mamaw. And so we were going to see Mamaw, and so we were at the Bethany House in Centerville. So there we are, we're walking in, and we're laughing and talking and having fun, you know. Then we always take the elevator when she's with me, because she likes to do that. So we get on the elevator, and the door's closed, and she's telling me, when I see Mamaw, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this, and I'm going, and I said, oh, you are, you're going to do that, and then we're just laughing, and all this stuff we're going to do when we see Mamaw. Well, I looked up, we'd been on there 3-4 minutes talking about what we was going to do to Mamaw. Elevator's still there. We haven't gone anywhere. I was ready to get off. I said, Zeta, you didn't push the button, because she's the one that always pushes the button. I always rely on her to push the button. Because she likes to go. First thing she'll do is push it. But she didn't do it this time because we was carrying on, getting on there. But you see my point. You got to push the button. You got to take action, right? Before anything you've talked about is going to happen and take place. You go nowhere if you don't take some action, right? That's why if you're praying for a job, if you're praying for a job, take some action. Get some applications out there. Get you some resumes ready. You know, whatever you have to do, Get your feet moving. Ask God, and God will help you. Don't sit around. Here's what people think. They think, well, I'll just talk to God, and He'll take care of it for me. You know, You have to ask God and begin to move, right? Do your part. See, some people think, well, I'm just going to pray, and, you know, I'm here. I heard someone... I got a word that I was supposed to come here today and offer you a six-figure job. The one who's been sitting on the couch all day. That's the one who's going to get the six-figure job. You see that? It doesn't work that way. We have to move, right? We have to do our part. We have to take action. You see that? Now, I remember a story about this pastor. He had this church, and it was doing very well. He had, you know, three services Saturday night, two services on Sunday. You know, the nursery was always crowded, and there wasn't enough help in the children's ministry, kind of like what we're doing. But he had reached, you know, inquire of the Lord about that. Because, folks, if you're inquiring, that's the next generation. You know, that's the next generation. God wants to use you to affect this generation. So, anyways, this pastor had a church of 600, and they needed a building. They needed a building, and they came across this land and this perfect building. They said, this is the perfect place. We're going to pray about it. Where they inquired of the Lord, and they said, we're going to put a bid in on it. They put a bid in on it, and this other person put a bid in on it, and they all got together, and they were happy. They thought they were going to get it because they felt like they put the best bid in. But when they got back and they went back to their prayer meeting and they inquired of the Lord said, pull your bid. Pull your bid. And some of them said, well, that place is perfect. That's just what we need now. We need it now. And He said, pull your bid. And so they all got together and said, you know, that's really what the Lord is saying. We're going to pull our bid. We're going to see if there's another place He wants for us. So they pulled their bid. They ended up pulling their bid. And a couple months later, the other guy who put the bid in, he ended up getting the building. Well, he heard about the church and started coming to the church. And he started coming to the church, and after a couple months, he gave the building to the church. Several million dollars. He gave it to him. See, God knows, doesn't He? If we will inquire of the Lord, I'm telling you, folks, He has something for you. And that, you know what? He'll supernaturally work something out in your life. When you have a habit of going to Him, He'll begin to do things supernaturally in your life. Now, okay, so what was it? Inquire, act and do, and acknowledge, right? Acknowledge. Folks, acknowledge means to share and just tell what God is doing. Folks, we need to give God glory. We're living in a day when people aren't giving God much glory. We need to talk about our God, right? I talk about Him in Kroger's. I talk about Him in Macy's. I talk about Him wherever I go. Because you know what? My kids, I'll be at a group with my kids or a family setting, and we'll start talking about alcohol. And, you know, I'm not all that crazy about alcohol. You know, I'm not going to go into a big thing, but I just don't like it because I've seen it do too much destruction. And so I always say, yeah, when I got saved, I had a quart of beer in one hand, and my kids will go, we know, Dad. We know you had a quart of beer in one hand and a Bible in the other, and Charlie the janitor led you to... You see, they know my testimony. They know it verbatim, word for word. They can tell it. That's good. You see, that's working in them. Anytime they're in a position, that comes up. Because, see, look, it's important to acknowledge Him. You see that? We testify. We overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. That's acknowledging God. Now, where's Daryl? I got one word for the send out, so hold up.